scripture reading be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
A lot of people who work in the field of sales get a commission. The more someone buys, the more they make. Because of commissions, it's often the case that if you go and buy a product, a person, a salesman or a saleswoman, will promote an extended warranty. If you've bought a car, maybe you've bought a computer, an appliance, or something else, they said, "We have this extended warranty, and it's not very much. Would you like it?" I found that on items even as little as $10 or $20, sometimes they will try to sell you an extended warranty, and that seems odd. If you know an item is $10 and the extended warranty is $7.95, but I mean they still do that kind of thing. The basic premise behind an extended warranty is that something might fail, it might break down, and ultimately need repair or replacement. A warranty, of course, is designed to either repair the item or to limit our repair costs to a small amount. Some people have bought extended warranties and they found that they really needed them. Others have paid for this protection, but the warranty was never used. We all recognize, whether you are in favor of these warranties or not, we all recognize that we live in a society where things do break down and need repair. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, though, Paul said this, very interesting statement. He says, "Love never fails." Have you ever looked at those words and really considered them? I suggest that if you look at them on the face of things, they would initially seem to be untrue. Initially, it would seem to be the case that God got it wrong. Is it not right to say that in our world, love does fail? That's what I see. All of us know of people who say they love one another and yet they quarrel and fight. We find people who say they love one another and friendships are dissolved. We find that people who say they love one another have some kind of falling out. There are cases of child abandonment. Mother or father says, "We love our children," and then they leave them on a doorstep. All of these illustrations make our point, but maybe there's one illustration, a biblical illustration, that tops them all. In the book of James, James 3, verse 5, James said that a small spark can create a big fire, and we know that to be true. We've seen over the past few years cases where there was someone who maybe dropped a cigarette, there was a small spark, and from that small spark, an entire section of forest was lit on fire. Then in James 3, verse 6, inspiration says the tongue is a fire. James reminds us that it defiles the whole body. A little later in James 3, verse 8, he continues by saying the tongue is a restless evil. It is a power that no one really fully tames or controls. In James 3, verse 9, he goes on to add that the tongue is sometimes used to bless God and curse man. The tongue is one of the smallest instruments that we have, but it is also an instrument that can be one of the most unloving. We know that to be the case. James says that's true. Well, how can we reconcile man's tongue, which is called a fire in James 3, to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, where Paul says, "Love never fails"? Well, we cannot affirm that James was wrong, because we know that to be right. Most of us have been verbally attacked at one time or another. Maybe the assault came from a fellow Christian. Maybe it came from a close family member. How can we square an attacking tongue with unending and unfailing love? Well, was a person who claimed to be a Christian not really a Christian? Are there cases where love indeed does fail? If there are times when love does fail, why did God say love never fails? Well, the answer is found in the expression never fail. Never fail does not mean, as some have wrongly supposed, that a person who is a Christian, a person with true love, will always show love. That's not the meaning of the thought. Never fail in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, has the sense of never pass away. And if you like marginal notes, that would be a marginal note that I would put in that particular text. Never fail means never pass away. What's being said in 1 Corinthians 13 is really part of a contrast. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, Paul provides some information about spiritual gifts. One day we might study those gifts one by one. Paul described miraculous abilities like tongue speaking, healing, prophecy, the gift of faith, the gift of knowledge, and many others. At Corinth, when these miraculous abilities were available, these Christians really treasured those gifts. They boasted about their supernatural abilities. But Paul wanted these Christians to consider this fact. They had misplaced the emphasis. Instead of looking at the spiritual gifts, Paul said, you need to be aware of the fact that a time is going to come when these gifts are no longer going to be available. The tongues, the prophecy, the healings, all these things, Paul said, they're going to vanish away. The tongues will cease, verse 8. Prophecies will be done away. Supernatural knowledge would be done away. Even though these gifts would disappear, and now they have, they're no longer available. Paul said, even though these things will pass away, there will be some other things, faith, hope, and love, that will continue. All of these items exist, but certainly it's the case that they are not practiced perfectly by the people of God. Faith exists today, but I don't know a single Christian who would say that I have a perfect faith. Hope exists today, just as Paul promised. But we know that there is no one who, as they look at their hopes, that they have it all lined up, that they're always perfect in that regard. And as we think about love, we also find that love has continued just as Paul promised. It's not failed. But again, we do not always fully and properly practice it. Well, as we think about the continuance of faith, hope, and love, we want to make sure that we do the very best that we can with these three areas. As we look at our religious world, we find that there are a lot of people who seek after spiritual gifts. That's what they want. They want to be able to speak with tongues, or they want to receive information from God. They want what was in part, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. If people really studied their Bibles, though, they would seek after what Paul emphasized in 1 Corinthians 13, and that is they would pursue love. That information is very straightforward. It should be information that everybody knows, but apparently not everybody does, or not everybody applies it. Jesus talked about this before he left the earth, John 13, as well as some information in John 17. We want to start first with what he says in John 13. He refers to some information and tells his disciples it is a new commandment. The Lord told his friends, his apostles, that he had loved them. Then he said, it's now time for you to do as I have done. In John 13, verses 34 and 45, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Then he went on to say, but this by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to or one for another. Again, Jesus probably didn't need to repeat himself, but he decided to go ahead and make the point in the strongest way possible. So a couple of chapters later, in verses 12 and 17 of John 15, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. And then as we skip down a little bit, in verse 17, he said, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Love is a central part of the gospel. Jesus taught that while he was on the earth. Paul talked about that to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul, when he wrote the Galatian letter, said that it is a fruit of the Spirit. Perhaps that's why we sing about love in some of our songs. Remember this line? Love one another, thus saith the Savior, 'tis the blessed command. Our world, if we are a child of God, needs to see this command being lived out by us every single day. One man, when I began to preach, came over to the house to meet me, and just in the general course of the conversation said to me something that I've never forgotten. He was about 75 at the time. He's been deceased for a number of years. He said, love is the badge of a Christian. And I thought about that for a while, and I've not forgotten that over the years. I believe he was exactly right. In life, people get badges for various things. If you work outside the house, you might have a badge for the place where you work. It is a way of identifying you as an employee. A club may issue a badge because a person has achieved something. Christians also have a badge. Jesus said in John 13 and in John 15 that our badge is love. Well, the world certainly knows a little bit about love. It has its own definition for love. It can be loving, it can be kind and compassionate as long as things are going well. Be nice to someone in the world, and it's often the case that they will be nice back to you. But as you look at the world's love, you find that it is a fickle kind of love. It is usually based on circumstances. If things are going well and you're friendly and everything else lines up well, then it will be loving towards you. But true love will endure. It is the kind of love that Christians want to strive for in their lives. If we understand the kind of love that Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, we will have the realization that this love is a choice. It is not an emotion. But it is a willful choice that we make time after time after time. And it has to be that way, because there will be some days where we probably will not feel much like letting our love continue. We, if we're a Christian, are going to face times when we will be tempted to let our love fail. And there may be some days when the love that should flow through us full strength is somewhat reduced. But if we're a Christian, we're really doing what we should, we're pursuing the will of God, that love will not fail. Paul made this point in a very interesting way. He said, love will never fail. Never has a sense of under no circumstances whatsoever. In other words, Paul was saying that love, it's going to continue until the end of time. There is no way that it can fail. It's going to exist now in life until the world ends. Even in eternity, love will continue. I want to show you the force of never by looking at about three other passages. These come from the book of Matthew. If you have an outline, they are on there. The first one comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. The next text is going to come from Matthew 9. And then after that, we will slip over to some information in Matthew 26. I want to start with Matthew 7, verse 23. Jesus is giving us, towards the end of this chapter, a picture of the final judgment. And then, will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Same word, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. On the day of judgment, Jesus will say to some people, you do not belong to me. You are not on my side. There was never a time when you were with me and my people. Well, the people who hear this will be surprised. They will be individuals who in their minds really belong to the Lord. Jesus tells us, he warns us that they will claim that they did supernatural signs, that they performed miraculous works. And yet Jesus' response to them is, I never knew you. There was never a single moment in time when we were on the same side. Never literally means never. Well, if we can understand never in the context of 1 Corinthians or Matthew chapter 7, we can understand never in the context of 1 Corinthians 13. A little later, Matthew chapter 9, verse 33, we're told that there was a dumb man, been sick for a while. Jesus healed him. He was not able to speak. Jesus instantly gave him that ability. The people who became aware of it said, this had never happened before in the nation of Israel. That is, it was a rare, it was an unusual event. This had never, ever before occurred. Well, that's the same word that's being used in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love will never, ever fail. It's impossible for it to go away. Then our third passage is Matthew 26, verse 33. Jesus was at the end of his life. Peter made a promise. He said that there would be people who would be offended at Jesus. And Peter said, well, even though, you know, there's going to be some, Lord, that's not going to be me. I will never fall away. I will never apostatize. I will never deny you. Well, we can understand what Peter meant. He was conveying to Jesus, no matter what happens, I will stay with you through thick and thin. Well, even though that's what happened, we know that Peter did fall away. Now, as you think about Peter and this undying love that he proclaimed to have for the Lord, we have an additional follow-up on that. In the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14, Mark tells us that there were some decisions that were being made about Jesus. Peter apparently wanted to hang around in the area where the decisions were being made to see what was going to happen. He found a fire. He was beginning to warm himself. And there was a maid who came out. She believed that she recognized Peter, and she claimed that the apostle had been with him. We want to start reading in verses 67 and 68. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, thou also was with the Nazarene, even Jesus. But he denied, saying, I neither know nor understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. As you continue to read in Mark's account, you find that Peter denied again in verse 70. Now, it may seem on the surface that Peter's first denial and Peter's second denial were exactly the same, but that's not the case. In verse 70, the denial is an imperfect tense verb that is continuous action. In the first denial, Peter simply said, oh, I don't know the man. But in the second denial, in verse 70, he repeated himself. He went on and on to say, I do not know the Lord. Well, we know the story. In addition to the second denial, there was a third. Even though Peter denied Jesus three times, God's love for this man did not fade away. That's still true today. God's love for people today still does not fail. God's not going to tolerate sin. That point's made clear from Matthew chapter 7. There will be sin. If people are not obedient, God will keep them out of heaven. But God's love is such that he wants people in heaven. He waits for people to obey. He gives them time to respond. He gives them time to repent. And bearing that in mind, we're tempted to ask the question, and we'll ask the question, are there those here today who have not yet responded to God's undying love? If that's the case in our life, do we not recognize that God is waiting for us every single day if we are not one of his children? He's waiting on us. He waits and waits. But it's sad to say that there are some who never choose to come to him. If we have become one of his people, then one of the guiding things that we want in our life is to develop a love which is not going to fail. It's not always going to be perfect. But we want to make sure that if we are a Christian, we have that love every single day. And we try to practice that in every single set of circumstances that we find ourselves in as we live the Christian life. There are going to be times when our love is not all it can be. There are going to be times, perhaps, when our love has some high points and the low points. But we can decide that true love, 1 Corinthians 13, is always going to be part of who we are. It is a key basis for our faith. We will love God every single day, no matter what. We will love all people, no matter what. Someone says, well, that all sounds good, but how do I make that work in my life? How do I make that practical? How can I have a love which will last and last? You know, Paul gave us the answer in 1 Corinthians 13. The next time you're struggling with love, go back to that chapter, start with verse 4, and read again the information that we have that goes down through verse 7. Paul explains it in the most straightforward way. He said, love suffers long. If we're having difficulty with love, that's a quality that we need to go back and look at. It's kind. It envies not. It vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. And then in verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. If we want to have love as the basis in our life, Paul says that's how to do it. About four verses, he lays it out. So we ask, have we chosen true love? And are we practicing that true love in our day-to-day lives? We hope so. For that to occur, we first must become a Christian. We love God. We want to serve God. And that love for God causes us to be obedient. We know that we've got to believe. And with that belief, with that love, we turn from sin because we love God and we love what's right. We love God enough to confess that Jesus is Lord. He's the only one that can save us. And then we love God enough to take that final step. Baptism into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And then after we've made those choices, we continue to live as a faithful Christian every single day because we're grounded in and we're driven by love. Are we a Christian? And if we are, is love the guiding force in our life? If the answer to either question is no, and this morning we can help make things right in your life, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?